Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Option Route podcast. I'm your host, David, and I know we've been gone for a long, long time. Honestly, there's about three contributing factors as to why that is. One, I moved in a very big city, which made it almost impossible to get anything done, and we're still in the process of moving that final box, that final moving box that really there's not enough stuff to go around. We moved from a studio to a one-bedroom. I thought we'd have more space to actually put things into it, but that is not the case at all. But very excited to be out of that studio. During all of COVID, it was a wild ride in there, and also just watching everything and trying to start a podcast and all these things, craziness. Two, we decided to finally go on a vacation after all this. We went down to New Mexico, super, super loved it down there. The food was delicious. I had a bunch of fun. Just doing pretty much everything was awesome. And then three, honestly, some of the biggest reasons are nothing happens in football during the summer. Some of the dumbest and stupidest, hottest, scorching hot takes happen in the summer, and I'm not here for it. The dumbest takes happen in July. Don't even try. Like, it is combination of the most grasping for straws, the worst egos. It's just nothing to talk about, nothing productive. You've seen nothing on the field. You've seen nothing from pretty much anything. You've seen snippets from a few practices, which gives you absolutely nothing about rookies. It's absolutely useless to honestly try to get anything from the months of June and July. Yes, there were some trades. Yes, there were some signings. Yes, I missed a few things, and for those things, I'm very, very sorry, but I am back, and I'm going to be back the whole season. Now, I know that this is all about the NFL, and in the offseason, it's a bit easier to talk about the whole NFL, especially from February onwards until about, like I said, May, because the draft's happening. It's easier to talk about other teams. I know I focus mainly on the Patriots, but during the season, I'm going to definitely focus a little bit more on the Patriots because I'm going to watch their games. So, for instance, the preseason, I'm going to be talking about Mac Jones and Justin Fields because I actually got to watch those games, actually got to be within and see, like, kind of see what's going on. I'm also just going to talk about some normal things, kind of how things are progressing in preseason, what to look for in your team, kind of like the basic skills of, like, seeing, understanding football and things, key things to look for of like what make players actually stand out in preseason, not just their numbers. So the biggest thing that I want to talk about, and it's so annoying to hear that everyone just caveating everything I can think of in preseason is, well, they're not playing with their ones, they're not playing with their twos, or they're playing against threes. So the first thing is, either they're not playing with their ones, so in response to young quarterbacks like Mac Jones, Justin Fields, all those things, they're not playing with their ones. They're either playing with their twos and their threes, thus like a lot more drops, a lot more O-line breakdowns, not as just much connection with these people. And then on the flip side, they're playing against ones, which is why they look bad. They are playing against twos and threes, which is why they looked amazing. Let me just get this out here right now, especially talking for quarterbacks. There's a lot of things you have to look for to understand if they're having a good preseason, or they'll just have like the basics of possibility of having a solid, solid season. One, a good preseason means absolutely nothing. It means about as much as Ryan Mallett and Mitchell Trubisky going off in the preseason. Yes. Does it mean something for the things I'm about to talk about in terms of the intangibles that you see? It's 100%. Does it mean how fast they're grasping a playbook? 100%. Does it mean how they're shifting their line and making their reads? 100%. Does it mean have any correlation of how they're going to do in the actual regular season? Absolutely not. Because there's so many factors. Like I said before, with the ones, twos, three, like, the depth doesn't matter. These players are playing a role. And if they're doing that role correctly, they should either look like they're dominating a three, they should look like they're dominating the twos, and they should honestly look like they're doing well against the ones. And by all that means, honestly, if you're watching this podcast, you definitely know, but it's the starters, the second strings, and the third stringers. It is incredibly frustrating to watch on Twitter and all these takes. Even my friends are saying it. It's like, well, it means nothing because it's against the third stringers or second stringers, or they would have caught that as a first stringer. Regardless, you're looking for the intangibles of like what made them make that play. So for quarterbacks, it's the easiest thing. I think it's the most well-known thing. Why did Justin Fields or Mac Jones make that throw? So not did they complete it, not did they do X, Y, Z, but why did they make that read? What did they see in the defense to make that read or that check down? So for instance, I was watching a play with Mac Jones, and he shifted his shoulders left to fake off the defense, and they all shifted a little bit to the left, which he was then able to make a throw in the middle of the zone. So he read that it was zone. He read everything he needed to make. He understood how and when the route would break. He understood where his receiver would be. The throw is super, super important. Don't get me wrong. That is the last piece of the puzzle, which is what a lot of people struggle with. But a lot of people also struggle with that front part of the puzzle, is understanding coverages, breaking down. That's why a lot of these backup quarterbacks that everyone makes fun of like, why are they still in the NFL right now? I can tell you why they're still in the NFL. They are fantastic to have in the QB room. And if your quarterback goes down, you want someone that can actually step in and actually just read a defense. A backup quarterback only needs to be a game manager. Now, that also happens to be what Mac Jones is kind of playing like right now, and that's what good teams need. Some of them need superstars. Some teams absolutely need a superstar quarterback. Look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at like all these people, like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Like, they are all superstars, right? Like, they make incredible, incredible plays over and over and over again. But there's also room for good quarterbacks to make it very far with a great team, great defenses. If you spend a lot of money on defense, like the Patriots do, not as much money on the offensive side of the ball, like the Patriots do, have solid special teams, like the Patriots do, if you're a game manager that doesn't throw interceptions and drives down and puts up at least 20 points, you're going to get a lot more wins than you might think of. You have to land this amazing guy. So those are some of the things that you want to look for. So like I know I talked about it specifically in quarterbacks, but look what they're doing instead of what they did. So, and ask why they did that. So for instance, I was watching also Mac Jones. He didn't make a correct read, which he had to throw the ball away. So he had a receiver wide open in the flat. If he made the read that it was the coverage was dropped off, or if he read that it was man coverage and a linebacker, and the running back and linebacker was definitely his best matchup, if he made that read correctly, at the bare minimum, he would have looked that way. He didn't. He threw it away. The same thing happened with Justin Fields. Justin Fields was adjusting the line against the Buffalo Bills, and there was that huge hit that it was very, very scary. Super happy that he popped right back up. His helmet popped off, but super happy he popped back up. But he shifted his line left. He looked around, shifted them left, which, again, it could have been the right move at the time. But the defense made an adjustment. They had an outside linebacker who screamed in, lineman, block down, or to the direction that it's called that way. So they weren't going to leave the guard. The center had someone. It went all the way down, and they blocked down, and Justin Fields got lit up. A lot of people were looking at that as like, oh, it's the worst thing, or it's like, how could his lineman not do that? No. Justin Fields made that call. No one missed a block. When someone goes completely unblocked, It's usually the quarterback's fault. Yes, there are times, 100%, when linemen make misreads or they make the calls. But if the quarterback makes a shift, they are the only ones on that line that are standing above that line and can see the whole defense, right? So even if the linemen miss something, it's their quarterback's job. Look at like Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I know I'm naming fantastic people. Even like Justin Herbert, who's again fantastic, but I thought I would bring it back a little bit. But They can call out if there is an issue. The call wasn't made, and then a few plays later, he almost got rocked again. He stood in there like an absolute champ and threw the ball, which is also incredible. That's another thing you have to look for, right? I know I'm kind of going a little bit all over the place, and it's a little bit ranty, but I love talking about this stuff. And yes, I would love to do film breakdown, get into X's and O's, man coverages, zone coverages, cover two, cover three, cover four, sky flats, hard flats. Like, there's so many different things that, like, actually make up a defense. An NFL defense is so confusing. I cannot even imagine what these quarterbacks have to try to learn with stunts and random blitzes and cornerback blitzes and safeties now playing like linebackers, like Jamal Adams. It's crazy. It's so hard. And now with the numbers, now they have to look and see across the line like Matthew Judon screaming across the line with number 9 on. It's insane. But it's intangibles of looking of what they did, not just the throws they make. Because there's a lot of quarterbacks that can make a lot of good throws. There are definitely some throws that you look at and you're like, wow, that's a special throw. But if they don't have to make those really difficult throws, there's a good chance that either one, the offensive coordinator is having a game and called the perfect play against their defense, or two, that quarterback made the right read of what the exact defense was and what that defense would give him. And if that defense gives you a 5-yard curl to your tight end on first and 10, you take the 5-yard curl. It might not look the prettiest. It might not be that 42-yard bomb over the top with some diving catch, but it's consistent. You're not going to throw interceptions. You're going to hit the wide open man. So I think a lot of times people kind of misread things. And then honestly, speaking across the NFL, I think every rookie quarterback has looked great. There's a lot of promising quarterbacks on in this draft, and I'm super, super excited to see what happens. All right, next up is a perfect transition of seeing what happens to these quarterbacks. Let's get my initial opinions on Mac Jones and Justin Fields. I know I use examples of them, of what to be looking for, and those can go for anything, right? So those last things I was talking about, intangibles, what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're lining up, how they act on the field. Those are the type of things that you can look at for any position. Why that defensive end choose that move? Why do those things? Those are the breakdowns that you can really get into it if you're really into the nitty-gritty of it to understand if it actually was a good play or if it got more lucky. Was it actually the right read? Or did they just have to make a much harder play than they really had to? So, that all being said, I hope at least at the bare minimum, the people who are listening to this, please do not send a scorching take on Twitter that has nothing to do with the eye test, nothing to do with intangibles, nothing to do with skill set, but just like they're going to be an absolute success because of this 160-yard bomb. That wasn't even shade at Trey Lance because I think he's looked great so far, but more just like, look at the whole picture, and then not just look at the stats, look at the entire painting. So let's get into reactions. Let's do first Justin Fields. Dude looks athletic as hell. He looks amazing out there. Very, very confident. As I mentioned earlier, he stood in the pocket a lot. That Bears, second string, third string offensive line, was not looking ideal against the Bills. They were looking a bit sieve-like, a lot of holes. And he stood in there. He made some great throws. His throwing mechanics look pretty solid. His athletic ability is pretty much unmatched besides like maybe Trey Lance. I think Trevor Lawrence might be up there, but I think those two are a tier above. I know obviously Lamar Jackson exists, but I'm talking about rookie quarterbacks here. And he just looks solid. I mean, I think Bears fans should be very excited. Yes, he could fizzle out in 8 weeks, but he has all the makings, right? He passed the eye test. He passed the stats test. He passed all the in-depth next level stat tests. He passed everything. Yes, he has some things to definitely refresh up on looking and reading defenses. He definitely has some things to learn about the way NFL defenses work, how defensive lines like kind of work in the NFL, how fast players are. I know that he made that comment, but after reading the entire quote instead of just that little snippet that everyone's been talking about on Twitter, I think he's understanding that it's going to come at him a lot faster in the regular season. So I'm not super worried about that. Don't read into that media nonsense. They're just looking for something to pick on the poor kid about. And I think he's handled it pretty well so far. I mean, Chicago's a historic franchise. There's a lot to live up to. Andy Dalton's going to get the start week one, no matter what, because Matt Nagy will not let that happen. Which you know what? At the bare minimum, most rookie quarterbacks probably shouldn't start week one, regardless of who they are. Because there's just so many things that's going to put so much pressure on them. Which some of them do extremely well under pressure, like, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them could use like a year or two to get ready. Look at Mahomes, look at Rodgers. I mean, they had time to kind of get ready. Even Brady had a lot of his season to get ready. I know he got kind of thrusted in there at the end, but he had a good amount of time that he wasn't expected to be this amazing thing. And even when he stepped out onto that field, he also wasn't expected to be this next tier quarterback. These first overall picks, first through 15, when they step on the field that first time, that first game, even if it's their first NFL game, they're expected to be amazing right off the rip. So I respect the Andy Dalton thing, but I am excited about Justin Fields. His throw on the run looks fantastic. His touch passes look great. A little bit too much air on some of the balls, but overall, just looking like an absolute stud out there. And like I said, his athletic ability is bar none. He's going to use his legs to get him a lot of situations that are more favorable to him. And honestly, the way he can scramble, it allows him, it looks like a young Aaron Rodgers a little bit, but even faster, is when you break down a play and you buy more time, the reason why people like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, the reason why they have so many open receivers sometimes is because DBs cannot cover for 8 to 9 seconds. So when he uses his legs to roll out or run around a block or get whatever it needs to be, the offense goes into scramble mode, and those quarterbacks with that athletic ability are the only people you want out there in those situations. So I'm going to give Justin Fields an A-. I think there's some improvements. There's some reads he could have made a little bit better. I think there's some offensive line checks he could have made a lot better. But overall, I think he looks fantastic. I think he's going to be the starter within a few weeks. And I'm super happy for Chicago. Next up, we have Mac Jones. So I watched both his preseason games. I'm super, super excited for this kid. I was a little less excited three, four podcasts ago, just because I wanted someone a bit more like a Justin Fields. Look at that bit of athletic ability, because as a Patriots fan, I have not seen someone scramble or run around or hurdle someone or make a diving throw, all these things in forever. So selfishly, I just wanted that to change it up a little bit. But I think that Mac Jones has been showing why Bill Belichick loved him so much. And the fact that we didn't have to move in the draft to get him just makes it even better. But he's been putting up some solid games, some solid numbers. There's been some drops. There's been definitely some misreads on his part. There's been one or two overthrows. And there's been a few times where, like, I wish his legs could do a bit more. But in the preseason, that's all you can really ask for from a rookie. Look comfortable. Look confident. And both Justin Fields and Mac Jones look comfortable and confident out there. Mac Jones looks like he's ready to lead this team. And honestly, with this week that Cam has been out, from what I'm seeing on all the beat writers and so the clips I'm seeing, he's looking very, very confident against a very good Giants defense, which people are really sleeping on for some reason. I have no idea why, but he's looking good. I mean, obviously, I would love to see him go against some more defensive ones. I would love to see him go against have his receivers that are actually going to play the game, like Aguilar, Myers and Bourne out there when he's out there, not just like Harry and Gunner and all these other people. But overall, I'm going to give Mac Jones an A- as well. So I think that both of these two really showed some unbelievable upside in the preseason, and both fans' bases should be pretty excited. They didn't make a lot of the rookie characteristic mistakes. They didn't do a lot of forcing of the ball. They didn't completely misread coverages. They didn't completely botch a snap. They didn't completely botch like a handoff. They didn't run around look at their head cut off. They did pretty well. Like, yes, here and there, like I said, Justin Fields made that one. Mac Jones made a few. Justin Fields made the exact same mistake, a drive later. But these are all things that they can get better at. That's what I'm excited about. The actual core football skills they need, they have. Which is just super cool to see that this many rookies have it. And honestly, I can't really talk too much about Trey Lance or Trevor Lawrence or even Zach Wilson, because I wasn't able to watch that much of their games. I watched a little bit of Zach Wilson. He looks pretty solid from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. So, I mean, I would say I'm excited for Jets fans, but that'd just be a lie because I'm a Pats fan. But overall, I actually do think that the Jets looking pretty solid. I think you guys got a quarterback of the future, which is great for you guys, and you guys should definitely be pretty pumped. I'm sorry about all the injuries that you guys are having. That's just so tough in preseason, but otherwise, he looks like pretty solid, and he looks like he's going to be a quarterback in New York for a long, long time. I'm going to talk about three more topics, not too long on each one, and then we're going to head out, and I'm going to see you guys next week for my reactions after that final preseason game for hopefully Mac Jones and Justin Fields, and honestly, whatever I'm able to watch. So the last three topics are the New England defense, the Washington football team's defense, and the Washington football team's offense. So I was lucky enough to be able to watch that whole game. And let me tell you something. Both teams that I just mentioned should be super excited. So let's start off with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fear the beard. Dude is an... Fitzmagic is just mind-blowing. He's an enigma. Everyone loves him. Every fan base loves him. Everyone in the NFL loves him. He's just a journeyman. He's always really good. And I'm super excited for the Washington football team to have him. They definitely have it figured out on the defensive side, like I'll mention in a little bit. And honestly, their offense was clicking pretty well against a very good Patriots defense. And he was looking pretty solid out there. He was finding holes. He has Scary Terry on the team. You guys have Logan Thomas, who's an absolutely solid tight end. Very, very underrated. He's come a long way. He makes some beautiful catches. Also an absolute fantasy sleeper for everyone that plays fantasy out there. Logan Thomas looks like an ideal pickup in this situation compared to all the other top tight ends. And I think it's just going to be a great fit. I think they have all the intangibles to make a really, really solid run at it. The NFC East is pretty weak. And the Washington football team looks very, very solid. Let's move on to their defense. Unbelievable. Chase Young is a freak of nature. I don't think I've ever seen someone quite as talented. And then combine that with how good he seems to his teammates and how good of a leader he is. So yes, I've definitely seen in my lifetime the athletic ability. Like people like Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett, those dudes are athletic studs and it can't be outmatched. But the way Chase Young acts on the sidelines with his team, he just looks like a true leader. And it's so refreshing to see a young dude go out there having fun, cheering on his backup quarterbacks, his kickers, his punters. He's doing little dances. It looks like a lot of fun on that team right now. They have a young defensive line full of studs. They have a solid secondary. And honestly, their linebacking core is also very solid. I think they're going to be probably a top 10, top 15 defense, which is just unreal for them. And they have one of the best pass rushers in the game. So I think that team's going to be pretty scary. I don't know if it's going to be the team to come out of the NFC East because, honestly, there's so many question marks in that division. Like, will Daniel Jones show up? Because if they do, the Giants' defense is also incredibly solid. Will Dak Prescott play like the same he always did? Because their offense is unbelievable. Their defense is definitely not it, but that's okay. And then, honestly, the third team is, again, is Jalen Hurts going to be the answer? I think he's a great fantasy quarterback. I think he's going to be an okay real quarterback. I'm just not sure if their combination of defense and offense is actually going to get it done. So I think the two teams to watch in this division are definitely the Washington football team and I'm going to say Cowboys because I just really don't trust Daniel Jones. I wish I did. They're my second favorite team and I hate the Cowboys, but I just can't. I can't do it. Danny Dimes, I need something from you. I need something from you. And then I can give you the nod and say you guys are the top two teams. And I'm going to end this podcast on the thing I could be the most excited about besides Mac Jones. Oh, and Damien Harris. Like, the Damien Harris hype train is so real. But he's already really good. So let's move past that. The Patriots defense has always been, the past few years, has been known for their secondary. Devin McCourty, J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore. Now they have Jalen Mills. Unbelievable secondary. Like, unreal. They're always going to be a top five, top ten secondary with those guys. But can we just talk about all the pickups that Bill Belichick made, including Matthew Judon? That man is an absolute game changer. He was on the field for literally five plays and wreaked havoc every single play he was on the field. He is unbelievable to watch. His technique is pristine and his awareness is unbelievable. The one play that really sticks out to me is his just ability to understand when it's pass, run, and where he needs to be to make the play. Because they were against the Washington football team. He started to rush. He then saw the running back peel out. I think it was his guy. I believe it was his guy. And he dropped back, made the pass incomplete because he batted it down. There are so many linebackers slash edge rushers that would not make that play or get caught up on an offensive lineman or just really worry about focus on going to the quarterback, even if it was their guy. And I just can't say how excited I am to watch this man kind of just dismantle offensive lines and also offensive play calling. He's going to be a person you have to play around the whole time. And with this many playmakers in the New England's defense, I am excited to watch them. And as long as they have a quarterback that can actually move the ball and a running game that controls the clock, this team's going to be scary, and so is the Washington football team. That's it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. If you made it this far, please go follow us on Twitter at @TheOptionRoutePod. Go check us out online as well. You can follow us for our newsletter. Our newsletter essentially is going to be the when we have actual release on the podcast. And please follow us on any of the podcasting networks that you're listening on. And again, hope everyone has a great night, and thank you so much for listening.